Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you tonight for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight, and we're so glad that you've taken time out to be with us. We've got a lot to cover in such a short period of time. I mean, an absolutely lot to cover. So we want to go ahead, and we're going to get to the story tonight, hopefully in about 7 minutes. And we've got certainly, we want to go ahead and present certain things. But let me first go ahead and welcome the international minister himself, whom we're glad to very well have back with us, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast, and say a few words for our audience.
Well, it's great to be back on, and it's great to have a family that's, you know, continually praying for you. You know, you have health issues, but I appreciate all your prayers, and I'm back in full restoration.
All right, Pastor, we're so glad to have you back, and I'm sure that as my various co-hosts come in, you all go ahead and, Pastor, and I want you to know that last week's show, when we found out that you weren't well, that you had been hospitalized, Ricky to the rescue at the close and in his closing of our show, he put it out there that he asked one of the ministers to say a word of prayer on your behalf. That was Ricky to the rescue. He asked one of the ministers on the program to say a word of prayer on your behalf, and here you are. You're back tonight. So Ricky to the rescue certainly. We were all thinking about you, but he took it upon himself in his closing. At the end of his closing, he had us all pause to take time out to request that prayer. So, Pastor Rowe, I want you to know that that we were all thinking about you, but Ricky to the rescue went over and beyond.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the family prayers. And that means a lot to have a family that you know continually pray for you.
Excellent, excellent. And let's go ahead. Speaking of Ricky the Rescue, let's go ahead and bring him in and give him a special shout out to Pastor Rowe. Ricky the Rescue, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Oh yes, it's great being here. I was anticipating, waiting, hoping, and still praying Pastor Rowe join us this evening, and he did. So that's a blessing. And it's a blessing and an honor for me to be here as well.
Amen.
All right. Excellent. All right, let's go ahead and bring some of our other co-hosts in who are also standing by, and they may want to say a little quick shout-out to you as well, Pastor Rowe. Let's go with Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Well, hello, everybody. It's so nice to be in here tonight, and I am so glad you're feeling so much better, Pastor Rowe, and welcome back.
Thank you for your prayers.
All right, let's bring in Miss J. Miss J, all the way from the Peachy State. Miss J herself. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Pastor Rowe's online.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back. And Pastor Rowe, I wasn't on the show when the news came out, but it's just a joy to hear your voice again. And you have definitely been in my thoughts and prayers, and we love you. And so glad to hear you back on the show again.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
All right, let's see here. Let's bring in Shield of Faith. Shield of Faith, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Pastor Rowe is alive and kicking.
We're so glad, Pastor O, it wasn't the same without you, and I'm so glad you're on here tonight. We need your words of wisdom, and I've been praying for you, definitely. So look forward to hearing what you have to say about the topic tonight.
Amen. Excellent. Excellent. Let's go ahead and bring in Sparkles. Sparkles, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you as well, and Pastor O is alive and well. He might even sing for us. Sparkles?
And good evening, everyone. Praise God. I'm so glad you're back with us, Pastor O. We were definitely lifting up prayers for you, and it is so good. God is good. And all to hear
all
your voice,
time.
And you're back with us. Yes, he is. Praise God. Looking forward to the show's topic tonight.
Man.
Excellent, excellent. All right. Tonight, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, can you go 3 days? Just 3 days. That's the question. Can you go 3 days without making it all about yourself by avoiding what we call the I, me syndrome that is always about you, always about you. Ricky to Rescue, let me bring you on first tonight before we get into the story. Ricky to Rescue, have you come across people in your sessions that are having these problems, especially relationship stuff or issues, I should say, who one of the priorities just, you know, it's like they just constantly make it all about themselves.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And it's unfortunate that we live in a world with actually a lot of people like that. And one of the things I wanted to kind of mention, you may hear me just kind of speak to it a lot today, is selfless communication. You know, when you're talking to people sometimes, the conversation tends to just always revolve around them. And, you know, you have to be careful with that because, you know, they're never placing themselves or not, I won't say never, but hardly ever place themselves in a position to be caring for others because they're too preoccupied in what's going on with themselves.
All right. Certainly going to ask you to stand by. Darren Deedy, let me bring you in here. Ms. J, we'll prepare for the disclaimer in just a moment. Darren Deedy, I mean, at work, you know, or family members, how do you deal with something when people just, I mean, you might call somebody up and you wanted to talk to them and they didn't even bother to call you in 2 weeks. And then they monopolize the conversation and they're constantly making it about themselves. Have you ever experienced that, Darren Deedy?
Oh, that's my life. Yeah, it's almost like the phone line and the roads only go one way. But I'm there to listen. I'm a good ear to listen. I'm not all about me, me, me. But, yeah, it would be nice, you know, to try to get in a what's going on with my life. So, yeah.
Okay. Awesome, awesome. Ms. J, let's go ahead and, Ms. J, before you give the disclaimer, Ms. J, have you dealt with people like that? And if so, how have you managed with them?
Yeah, I believe everybody have dealt with them. And, you know, sometimes I don't think that they realize that they trying to monopolize the whole conversation because, you know, they think, you know, everything that happened, that they got some knowledge of, experienced everything. And what I do, sometimes I might just cut them short and just leave the situation, or usually I just try to change the subject. And, of course, they're going to go back to themselves. And they do that too much. I just have to pull away from it because my patience goes a little bit. Okay, enough is enough. So I just have to leave the situation, you know. Enough is enough.
Absolutely. So, Pastor Rowe, let's bring you in here, and just before Ms. J gives a disclaimer, Pastor Rowe, so should we just continue to pray for these people, in your opinion?
You know, one thing, in my opinion, I learned about family, the acronym for family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, is forget about me, I love you, you know, so, and that has always stayed with me. It's not so much about myself, it's about others, so we should continually think of others, pray for others, and keep others in our prayers.
Excellent, excellent. Ms. J, will you go ahead and give us that disclaimer now, please?
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the program tonight.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much for that, Ms. J. Shield of Faith, let me bring you in here. Shield of Faith, have you run across people like that where they just monopolize the conversation when, in fact, you called them, they didn't call you?
Yes, absolutely. I think we've all dealt with people that are centered, and it is all about them. They have big egos that just stroke themselves.
So how do you manage that? I mean, how do you just manage that?
I usually try to just, like Darren Deedy said, try to be a good listener and you know, deal with them, you know, on a basis as to what they're – I guess it depends on what they're talking about themselves. You know, if it's just some shooting a bull, that's one thing. But if they do really have a problem, you know, then you do either try to help them or just listen if that's what they want.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. Let's go here. Sparkles, let's bring you in here tonight. And Sparkles, ask your thoughts on this here. You know, with people who make it all about themselves. I mean, what's wrong with that, if anything?
Well, for one, it's selfishness. In my opinion, it's selfishness. It's just all about them. So I am of the mind that, like Miss J, I would try to divert the topic of conversation all being about them and try to shift it to something else. And then if I just noticed that that just wasn't working, I just cut the conversation short. And then I would really treat them with a long-handled spoon. They call me, maybe I won't call them back because I just don't want to hear it.
Okay, but is that kind of like playing tit for tat, or what is that? I mean, what if they really need you?
No, well, it's not tit for tat. It's that I'm trying to preserve not hearing all that negative talk about themselves or whatever they're centering around, the conversation is centered around, that it doesn't put me in a good state of mind. So I need to look out for my mindset, my thoughts, and my, you know, well-being. And if that's something that I just don't want to tolerate, I don't have to tolerate it. I just don't conversate with them, or very little conversation, and that's pretty much it. Eventually, I would get the courage to say something to them, actually, about it.
You say you would say something to them about it?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I've had that conversation with a friend one time about her behavior and how she was and so forth. Yes, I did.
Okay, and how did that go?
It was okay. She was very quiet. I wasn't surprised. She didn't apologize. But then again,
Are you all still friends to this day? Are you all still friends?
I have not been in communication with her since I've moved, actually. So I've moved a couple of times. So, no, I haven't been in touch with her. I haven't actually called her or anything like that.
Do you miss her?
I don't necessarily miss her. I wouldn't say that I miss her.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Benny from the Block. Benny from the Block, thank you for your patience. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you, sir.
Good evening. Happy Thankful Thursday. I'm excited to be here, and what a wonderful topic to talk about.
All right, excellent, excellent. Let's go ahead with tonight's story, you all. Tonight's characters are Wendy. Tonight's characters are Wendy, along with, what's her name? Victoria, Wendy and Victoria. Now, they both have been friends since middle school. They're both in their late 30s, married with respective families. Their children are teenagers, and all families are good together as they meet up often for various occasions. Now, Wendy is more of an extrovert, and Victoria is more inclined to be an introvert. Their personalities are so different that it makes their other friends and family members wonder what keeps these two together. Excuse me. Recently, Victoria and her husband have been experiencing serious marital problems. Since Victoria found out that her husband cheated on her with a coworker from his job, this, of course, devastated Victoria to the point that she could only call on her best friend, Wendy, to discuss her pain and heartache. To Victoria's surprise, she realized the questionable friendship that she thought she had with her best friend, Wendy, was all but that. So, in fact, their friendship came full circle when Wendy brushed the conversation off like it did not matter what her friend was going through. It finally dawned on Victoria that Wendy has always made every conversation about herself and seldom, if ever, allowed other people to give their viewpoints or express their feelings or their hurts or their pains or disappointments. She realized that Wendy has been like that since their early middle school days. Now Victoria is contemplating whether Wendy is a true friend because she is not there for her at a critical time in her life when she needs her right now. Ms. G, I want to go back to you for a second and say, could Victoria be misreading something? I mean, even though she's going through this, could she be, her viewpoint about Wendy be clouded?
Well, you know, you just said she always knew she was that way, even way back in middle school when they was like 15 years old, you know, where she was all about herself. So I guess my question is, when she was talking to Wendy about her husband, did Wendy throw it back on her, well, this is going on in my marriage, or did she try to help her at all? You didn't really get into much for me to see
right.
how she, you know, was trying to –
She basically put everything back to herself, you know, to highlight or to show her stuff as opposed to just taking stock and hearing her friend talk and try to offer not only a listening ear but some encouragement. So she made so much about her case.
Right.
It sounds like Victoria is not misreading Wendy then. If she, you know, every time she comes to her about something, she's focusing on her life and her marriage and not giving her no suggestions or whatever, you know, that's not, well, a friend shouldn't tell you what to do, but she should be there to listen to you. And if she asks for some help or suggestion, to be there to talk it out with her. And it seems like Wendy's not being that friend for her. And I don't know why Victoria done hung with it for all these years. Like you said, they was opposite, and I see they definitely are. That's not friendship.
No, that's not friendship. I mean, what would you, when you, if you were Victoria, excuse me, dealing with Wendy, how would you treat that? Now you're going through your issue, and she doesn't, you know, seem to care about what you're going through because she's so accustomed to making it about herself. Should you just ignore that?
Number one, I wouldn't even go to her with my problems. You know, I have friends for different reasons, you know, and as far as trying to get some understanding about how, you know, the marriages and stuff, she would not be that friend that I would go to for that purpose. So, you know, she could keep her as a friend for whatever reason, but problems she's having, knowing that she's not going to be able to talk with her or listen to her, no, I wouldn't even go to Wendy with it. No, I wouldn't.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, let me bring you back in here. Shield of Faith, I'm going to ask you the question. Is it possible, though, that Wendy is in, I mean, Victoria is in so much pain that she's misinterpreting things? Same question pretty much from Ms. J, you know, to Ms. J. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's misinterpreting, like you said in the story, that she's kind of known that she's been like that pretty much their whole relationship, been all about her. And now she has a serious problem, and her friend really isn't, you know, a true friend or really cares about her. It's all about herself, and there's a lot of people like that. It's all about them, and, you know, they don't care about anybody else. So, yeah, that's kind of a sad, and like Miss J said, that's not really a true friend.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Ben from the Block, I want to bring you in here. Ben from the Block, human nature is of such that, I mean, sometimes we do want to make it a, about ourselves, and could it be that sometimes we don't realize that we're offending somebody else?
I'm guilty of that. And I say that because there's been times I've been discussing something with someone and I will interject something from my own personal experience or personal happenstance. And the person will kind of come back and say, well, it's not about you. Now, what I do is I take that and I reevaluate that to make sure, excuse me, that I'm not making it about me. I was just sharing, or as we used to say once in a time, I was giving a testimony about something that happened to me and the results of what comes on that. I have found as I've gotten older in life that people don't want to hear about you because they want to stay in what their situation is and what their situation is about. And if the story doesn't meet their desired outcome, then they reject that immediately and then move on to something else. We live in a society where it's almost a dichotomy. I'm not sure if it's just not truthful or we just don't, we're not honest with each other enough, but it's almost like two different lives. In one aspect, there's a life that tells us, hey, take care of yourself, mind your own business, don't bother nobody, keep to yourself, keep your own peace, stay private, yada, 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 yada. On another aspect, with church and things, oh, you're supposed to be transparent, you have to be accountable, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I have found in life that both of those situations don't work consistently all the time. It is a shift between both. Some people you could be quiet and not have to say much with. Other people you can be transparent and accountable to. But in any case, we all shift over. Our entire society is based on iPhones, I go to work, I have a family, I make money, I have to take care of this. So I was accused of being an I person. Hey, I want to do the best I can. Hey, I want to serve God. Hey, I want to be a good husband or spouse or boyfriend or whatever. But when you do that, it puts you in a place of, oh, well, he's just always talking about I. Well, then the question becomes is, if I'm not talking about who I am, who am I talking about? Am I delusional or am I somebody else? Or am I just some entity out here that's living a third-party life? That's the question. So we're not custom to everybody. That means that whoever we're talking to, some people are going to receive you as you, some people are not. We have to learn how to choose who receives you and sees who you are in your humble state, and those who don't, who sees you as something else other than what you are appearing to be them. And that's their problem, and they should take it up with their therapist.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ricky Zareski, I want to bring you in here because Ben from the Block made a very valid point from my perspective, and he first mentioned that he shared with us that he was guilty of certain things. And when you think about it, perhaps maybe many of us are guilty of certain similar situations because someone calls you. So, Ricky to the Rescue, my question becomes, when someone is calling you, what are maybe some of the signs that you can realize that that you need to listen to that person because they called you? It wasn't like you called them. They called you, so they, in some cases, they've got an issue that's going on that they want you to hear just to get it out. What are your thoughts on that, Rick the Rescue?
Well, I think it's a good practice to do what's called reflective listening. When someone is calling you and they're talking, it's okay for you to, you know, listen and then, you know, maybe paraphrase or summarize the things that they said just to let them know that you're listening. I did want to share this as well. Just as when we interacting with people, we have to stop expecting certain things if that has never been established before as well. Because I know when you was mentioning the story, it was said that, you know, they had a certain type of interaction, you know, since middle school. And so
right. You
can't just expect that to change all of a sudden. You have to communicate what's needed. We can't just assume and expect people to be a certain kind of way, especially if they've never been that way before. And so after you have that conversation or you let that person know what you need, if they do something otherwise, now you can say, wait a minute now, maybe this person is not having my best interest in mind, but you still have to be able to put that out there because we live in a world where we just expect stuff. And, you know, some people say it's common sense. Some people say it's just supposed to be a certain kind of way. Some people say, you know, because you believe in God, it's supposed to be a certain kind of way and things of that nature. But then if you have a conflict, you will hear the same people say, well, I don't know what God they believing in because I see it this way or I see it that way. And it's always a conflict because there are expectations that are never discussed and agreed upon.
Wow. So, Rick to Rescue, I mean, should you have to have that type of conversation with a family member or a friend that, okay, it's not always about you, you know, like Benny from the Block said that he was called out on that. Should you have to set that those boundaries or those limitations, or should that just be, I mean, we make an assumption that's the person, that's the protocol.
Right. The assumptions is what's going to cause a lot of conflict. And it's very, 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 very critical for you to put yourself in a situation where you're communicating your expectations to others, because there's no such thing as a mind reader. And, you know, I don't care what my profession is, there's no such thing. You have to be able to receive information and give information back out. And, you know, there are some people that just people feel comfortable venting to. Maybe you're just that person. And, you know, that's something that can be very draining and taxing. But maybe you just that person that has that for whatever reason, attraction that makes people want to come vent to you. But it's okay to let them know, hey, and remind them, hey, I'm human. I have feelings too. You know, I can't just be the person everyone dumps on all the time.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome to tonight's broadcast, Sister Marjorie Cross. Ms. Cross, thank you for joining us. We have Pastor Rowe back with us. Ms. Cross, welcome.
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Walker. And welcome back, Pastor Rowe. And thank you all for all your prayers, everyone who prayed for him and wished him well. I thank God he's back. And good evening to all your co-hosts. And good evening, Pastor Rowe. And welcome back.
All right. Well, excellent. And we certainly, I failed to overlook it, but Ms. Cross was the one, I believe, that reached out to us, Pastor Rowe, to let us know that you weren't on the show that night, and I think we may have asked for you. And Ms. Cross didn't hesitate to let the whole audience know around the world that you were in the hospital. So we certainly do, Ms. Cross, I certainly apologize for omitting that, but certainly thank you for bringing that to our attention. And Pastor Rowe is back with us and live and well. Thank you for that.
Thank
you very much. Pastor Rowe, I want to go ahead, Pastor Rowe.
I say thank you very much. The show is going good, and I just, you know, we got two ears and one mouth. We ought to do twice as much listening as talking. You know, we learn when we listen. And the show is going very, very well, and I appreciate the input that everyone is making.
Okay, well, excellent. Excellent, Pastor Rowe. So what we want to do now, let me bring in Ms. J. I want to bring you in here, Ms. J., and ask this question. Here we have a lot going on. Can you go 3 days? Ms. J., do you think it's humanly possible for a person to go 3 days without making it all about themselves, a person especially who was accustomed to making it about themselves?
It is humanly possible if they have worked or working on doing more listening. You know, it is humanly possible, but it's going to take some work and practice. And I agree with Benny. All of us, you know, do that sometimes. I do it, and I have to catch myself sometimes. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I think I'm talking too much about me. Then I start listening better and asking that person questions about what they're talking about, trying to get it away from me, you know. So I think we all, but if you sense that you're doing it, and we can if we work on it and don't be so selfish to the point to where we don't want to change, you know. So it is humanly possible. But listen, let me say this right quick. Maybe I'm a mean person. I don't know. But I'm going back to the story here. I'm not a therapist. I don't want to be a therapist. Ain't nobody's doctor. I got a girlfriend. We've been good friends and all. She's an extrovert. I'm introvert. I'm quiet and all that kind of good stuff. I'm having problems. You don't want to listen to me. You just all about yourself. Why am I going through all that agony, still having heartbreaks and headaches? Because mainly I'm just hearing you talk. And then once we get through, I still got my same issues, my same thoughts. That's just too much for me. I can't go to that friend. She could be my friend for something else. But I'm blaming Victoria for keep going to Wendy with her problems. you know, you ain't got to try to help that person. You the one need the help. So why you keep dealing with her? You know, I'm not obligated to any friend, you know. So if whoever out there that's want to listen and to help me, I'm going to them. And I'm not going to keep going to somebody that is all about them. So, Victoria needs to wake up. You know.
Okay, but this is her best friend, Miss J, since middle school.
You know, yeah. If that was your best friend, she would be concerned about you. You know, she would be asking her, well, Victoria, talk to me. What is it? You know, talk to her. She keep making it about herself. Best friends don't do that. I ain't got time for that. You're not a dear. Poor Victoria. She seems like she's quiet and weak and witty. She's a strong mind. Like you said, she's an extrovert. Come on, Victoria, baby. You know, get it together. That lady ain't no better to help you. Number one, she might be jealous of you. The reason why she don't even want to help you. You never know what this person is thinking when it's all about them. So, you know, that can get kind of scary. You got to watch that.
Wow, that's a very interesting perspective. We're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, I want to bring you in here. Let's start taking some of these comments, you all, because we are clearly running out of time. Shield of Faith, the first one goes to you here. Can you go 3 days without making it all about yourself by avoiding the I-me syndrome? You know, she says, wow, Dr. Walker, all I can say is thank you very much for tonight's topic. I have several friends that I talk with, and they don't get it. They are constantly making everything about themselves. I think it may help if people could really listen to themselves talk sometime. Shield of Faith, I mean, who's going to listen to themselves talk? Like, you're asking them to make a recording when they're having a conversation. What's the likelihood of that?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And it is a society that teaches us, you know, that we're important, we're special, we have it all, you know, we deserve it all. So you have to, just like Ms. J said, you have to kind of practice and listen and make sure that you're not doing the same thing that you're accusing somebody else of doing.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Darren Deedy, I want to bring in. Darren Deedy, if I've been doing this, if I've been making it all about myself, especially in conversation or whatever, what I call the I-me syndrome, if you call me up and I'm going yada, 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 and and you're not getting much words in, but I'm your friend, then if I've been doing this for 40 years, what makes you think I'm going to change overnight, Darren Deedy?
I don't think you will, but it's, I like to be a good ear, easy to talk to, so I can be sympathetic. And I agree with Shield of Faith because, it's, you just have to listen and just, you love them the way they are, and it is what it is. So I'm not a me person. I'm more of a listener and agree and sympathetic.
Okay, so if I'm talking to 100 people, Darren Deedy, can I, and I'm tired of hearing this stuff, can I just give them your phone number?
Let's not say you did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. I'm kind of feeling like Ms. J is saying, you know, I need to put them on a timer so that they can start paying me with this stuff. But anyway, Sparkles, let's bring in here. Sparkles, at what point should we be empathetic to our friends who are going through stuff? I mean, should Wendy just kind of like, okay, let me put a stop sign there and say, okay, my girlfriend is hurting. You know, my guy friend is hurting. Let me see what's going on with them. They just might need to vent. Talk to me, Sparkles.
Some people can't be empathetic. If they haven't gone through it themselves, I say that they can't be empathetic. They can be sympathetic, but not empathetic. But then when you have a friend like Wendy, I don't know whether or not that she would even do that. I mean, she should know her girlfriend by now that she's hurting, obviously, and all that stuff like that, and she's just not caring. It's just going in one ear and out the other. So I would question whether or not Wendy can be empathetic to her friend, Victoria.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and bring some of the other callers in. If you want to speak to the issue tonight, press 1 on your dial. Let's go here. It's not coming up in the queue, but let's go to first. We'll go to 561-577. We're going to go to, I believe, Ms. Henry's on the line. Ms. Henry, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience.
Yes, good evening.
I just have a question or observation. Is it the same thing as when someone is a friend even is telling you their troubles, and then you start telling them about your situation, you know, like to relate to them? I mean, is that the same I, me syndrome too?
I would give you an example. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for example, right, someone was talking to me, and she's telling me about something that she's going through, and then I can relate, said, oh, yeah, and then I've had that, and then I start telling the person about my situation. And listening to this conversation, I'm thinking, ooh, was I been doing that I, me thing? Because I wasn't trying. But is it the same?
I would think so, but I'm going to pass that over to Rick to the rescue. I tend to think if you're going to take over the conversation when this person perhaps called you to vent to them, I mean to vent to you, and then you start to monopolize it, then I think that is part of the I mean syndrome. Because you're like, oh, yeah, this happened to me, this happened to my kid, this happened to me, and then you go on and on, you know, rather than being empathetic initially. Go ahead.
Okay, so the key word is monopolize. So if you monopolize the conversation, then you're out of order. But if you relate your situation, because you're trying to make that person feel like, look, you're not the only one, so I'm here to tell you I have faults too or whatever, then that's okay. Is that what you're saying?
Well, for me now, that's my perspective, and then Rick the Rescue as a therapist may have a different perspective. And then oftentimes you'll find therapists like what we normally do and we're hearing certain things. You know, we encourage people to say, you know, I'm really sorry that you're going, it's showing empathy, that I'm really sorry that you're going through that. I'm really sorry. And you sound like you mean it. I mean, hopefully you do mean it. So, and that's a starting point, you know. And if you don't know how that feels, then you need to tell them, I can't even imagine what that's like. I'm so sorry. And then if you have, then kind of not monopolize it. And this is just my perspective, and then Rick the Rescue is going to come in with his. And I would be like, you know, I went through a divorce, and I know how hard that is, and this must be devastating for you. So I'm sorry to hear that, but go ahead and finish telling me what you were saying. And that's how I go on. Rick the Rescue, let me bring you in. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I know a lot of times we try to be relatable to people in situations, but I think it's important to understand that every situation is unique and different. Because even if we just talked about, you know, someone losing a loved one and you try to relate to them, you know, oh, I lost a loved one too, but they're different people, they're different situations. And sometimes you can get triggered by those type of things, right? Because especially if the issue is not resolved in your mind, now you start to dominate the conversation, and instead of helping your friend or loved one or whoever who came to you for support, now you're walking down that whole path of trying to resolve the things in your life that hasn't been resolved yet. That can happen, as well as you can also cause more harm by talking about yourself, as we were just saying, that when you monopolize the conversation, because now you're making the conversation about you when that person actually needed your lending ear to listen.
That's a very good perspective, very good perspective. We're going to ask you all to stand by. We're almost out of time, but let me go ahead and let's see if we can bring some more people in. Some of these names are not coming up into the queue. Let me call the first six numbers if you kind of focus on your first six. Let's go ahead and bring in 706-825. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Who do we have? 706. Let me go back to that one. 706-825. Who do we have? Welcome.
Hi, this is Jerry in Augusta. I appreciate the conversation. Can you folks hear me?
Yes, we can. There's some noise in your background. Okay. We're trying to do the best we can. Go ahead, Jerry.
And so I think that Victoria was a little off a little bit, and that Wendy's been a girlfriend for all these years, and she knew how Wendy was, so why would she take this serious issue to Wendy? And I agree with, I think, with Miss J, who says some people you just don't go to with everything. And she can still be friends. It's just that she's not a friend for that time and that need.
That's That's a very good point, Jerry, that you brought in. But in this case, I mean, I'm just seeing it from one perspective, and certainly there are multiple perspectives that can be viewed. And the thing that I'm thinking is this is her girlfriend, you know, somebody who she entrusted. And it took her this situation in her own life, Victoria's own life, to get her to realize that Wendy has now, it's like a light bulb goes off. Something triggered this. It's the pain that Victoria's going through that triggered that Wendy doesn't seem to be empathetic or sympathetic in that matter to what's going on with her life. And now that light bulb goes off and says, you know, she's been this way since middle school. Some of us are a little slower than others. So, Jerry, I mean, that's a possibility, and we thank you for that. We're going to ask you to stand by just a moment. Let's go to this name is not coming up in the queue either, 770-882. Who do we have with us and welcome? All right, perhaps you're just standing by as well. All right, let me go here now and bring in Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, there's so many things that happen with people that have the I me syndrome. You know, they have these proud hearts and they just want to go on and just, they can't stop talking about themselves and they stop. How frustrating could that be to a number of people, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it can be frustrating. You know, it's you know, I always try to get different perspectives, you know, because we can train ourselves one, you know, one way. But it's good to get a different perspective from people and entertain that thought and idea. And, you know, we have two ears and one mouth. We should do twice as much listening as talking. You know, and you know, God could be trying to speak to other people through us. So it's just good to listen, and just take it from there.
All right. So Shield of Faith, I want to bring you back in here with this next comment coming into the studio here. This male, he writes in. He says, "I've always thought that people are selfish by nature. I recently proved my point by calling a good friend I hadn't spoken with in over 2 months. She seldom calls me, and when I call her, she monopolizes the conversation with her stuff. Well, fast forwarding, she did the same thing for over 45 minutes. I spent only 5 minutes on what I called her about. Try it with some of your own friends." Shield of Faith, that's a very good point. Try it with somebody that you haven't spoken to. What do you think about that, what he just said? Try it with some of your own friends.
Yeah, that's something that does happen, and I know that a lot of people, they talk, or if you're talking, they're thinking about what they're going to say and interrupting things like that as well. I think that's a bad habit that people get into, but yeah, that's pretty sad. I mean, if you have a friend that, I mean, I guess you call them a friend, but, you know, I don't know, I talk a lot, I have a lot to say. Sometimes it is about me, but it shouldn't be.
Okay, we're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Henry, I want to come back to you now, Ms. Henry, because you said something that was very important, and you asked the question about if, you know, the key word may have been monopolizing the conversation. But, Ms. Henry, could you give us your thought, put it out there on what's an approach to take that we don't even realize that we're doing it? You know, so is there something, and I'm going to come to several of you all with the same thing. And approach that somebody's calling you. It's just like if you call 911, they're trained to listen. They're going to ask you a series of questions. You know, do you have any? What's your emergency, first of all? And then they're trained to listen no matter whatever the emergency is while they're trying to assist you in getting some help. So what's our trigger point that when someone may call us from your perspective, Ms. Henry, to say, you know what, I need to shut up and listen, to find out what's their emergency, if that, or are they just venting? You know, what might be a triggering point, Ms. Henry, that you may take stock of since you asked the question earlier?
I don't know. I think when in past experiences, when someone has called and said they want to speak to me, the first thing is if they call right then and there, and I can't give them my full attention, I try to tell them, I have to let them know up front
I don't have a lot. I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of time, but whatever you need, I can talk to you right now. Because sometimes, like, you are in the middle of something, and it's almost like you can't drop it. If it's really something you can't drop, but you really need to talk to that person. So I try not to offend the person, but I got to be honest, because if they're in the middle of talking to me and then I just stop, then it looks like I'm not, you know, paying them any attention all along. And then that can cause a problem. Another thing that has happened is I would pray. I said, okay, before we start, let's just pray and ask God to come in. And what I found with that, when I did that before, everything calmed down. So it's like the Holy Spirit, and that was like, thank you, Jesus, you know, because I don't know what to say, and I don't want to say anything wrong. So prayer for that time, that kind of like calms the situation down, and it just helps me to understand I'm not the one that's going to talk. The Holy Spirit must talk through me to this person. So I have to be very attentive so that I won't, you know, go ahead of the Holy Spirit. So listening, like the pastor said, having two ears and one mouth, that is very important then. And I think it helps me to realize that I'm not the speaker, but God is speaking through me.
All right, we're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Let me go ahead and bring in Benny from the Block just quickly here because we're running out of time, you all. Benny from the Block, I want to bring you in here and ask a question. I mean, there has to be a trigger point where somebody's calling you, or even if you're having a conversation with somebody, so we don't become overwhelming. We have short and long-term memory, and we also have short and long-term attention spans. And so it's like, could there be something where, you know, you're talking too much? You're just talking too much. Sir Ben from the Block, help us with that.
Yes, I've learned in life that sometimes less is better. In other words, if someone's telling you something, you got to have a certain amount of discernment to realize when to talk, when not to talk, and when to just stay. Sometimes you got to fold your hand and say, hey, you know what? I understand, and leave it at that, because not all responses are good responses. Not all responses are helpful responses. But sometimes just the meek kindness of I understand and yes, I know is good enough. So less is sometimes better. If they're not asking you specifically for your advice about something, hold back. Even though I know it's difficult because we always want to give our opinion about things, but just hold back, because if we listen to the person, and I'm going to say this again, we should not communicate to just be talking. We should communicate to understand, because if you don't understand and you're just communicating, you're just wasting time.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. J, I got to bring you in here because, you know, it's people, the ones who love to talk. Like, I love to talk, so I say, you know what, God, help me. Let me get a radio show, right? So here we are 14 years later. So, Ms. J, so the question to you is, I mean, how do we get people or ourselves to realize, when even I ask on the show sometimes, and I say this with all love and respect to all of our audience and co-hosts and so forth, because I know I overstep my bounds sometimes by asking people, can you keep it within 15, 20 seconds, please? And then, you know, next thing you know, you're getting we're getting a three-minute speech sometimes when we're on time restraint. So how can we, and that's not to offend anyone, you all, I'm just saying because I overdo it myself. I'm very guilty of that. So Ms. J, what can we do to confine? I heard what Benny from the Block said. He said sometimes less is better, and I try to look at that. So what can we possibly do so we're not making it about ourselves? Somebody, I mean, help us out, Ms. J.
You know, I kind of agree with Benny in a way, but as far as us talking a lot, it's going to take practice and time, because that's something we are so used to doing. You know, so sometimes we just got to sit back, and I'm talking about myself, take a deep breath and stop trying to give that advice. Just let that person vent. Just let them talk, you know, and just let them, you know, if you say anything, just let them restate what they're saying. Let it be about them, you know. Ask them, well, what do you think about it, instead of you giving them advice, you know. Let them be in control of, you know, throw it back at them every time they say something. And just hold your tongue until you have to train yourself not to keep putting your little toothpick in. And like I forgot who said it, I think it was Miss Henry. A lot of times we have experienced a lot of the things that they're talking about, but everybody's experience is different. Just listen to them. If they ask you, be brief about it, but you got to work on it. And just let it be about them and not about you, and that takes work and practice. It's not an overnight thing, so don't think we can do it overnight.
That's a very good point, Ms. J, very good point. My son had a conversation with me about 2 years ago, my oldest son, and he called, and he just wanted to express his thoughts on something. But I kept interjecting, and he said, Dad, I know you're a therapist. Dad. He said, but, Dad, be honest with you, Dad, sometimes I just call, and I need you to just listen, Dad. I know you're a therapist, and you're accustomed to trying to put out the fires. But, Dad, sometimes I just want you to listen. And, you know, I took stock of that, and I say, wow, I wonder if there are so many other people that I'm doing this to. So he brought that to my attention, and I said, you know what, from there on out, let me just start listening more, like with the two ears and one mouth, as Pastor Rowe, you know, brought out. Let's go ahead and just take a quick commercial break now, and then we'll give Ricky the Rescue an opportunity to also make a commercial break. Sister Marjorie, go ahead and make your commercial break at this time.
Okay. Hello. Yes, hi again. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a health and wellness consultant with two of the most outstanding companies in the world, Isogenic and also 4Life. We have over 150 products that may be able to help you with any health condition. You could reach me at 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223. Or you can visit the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. And I just wanted to say happy belated birthday to Pastor Rowe. He had a birthday recently.
All right. Thank you for that.
Thank
Pastor Rowe, happy
you.
Belated birthday. Awesome. All right, Rick to Rescue, if you'll close us out in about 7.5 minutes and you give your commercial break at the top of that, would you do that for us?
Yes, I can do that.
All right, thank you. So we're going to give you an opportunity to stand by. Listen, you all, we're clearly just about out of time, and Rick to Rescue is going to close out in about 7.5 minutes. So we've got several more comments that are in here. We're going to ask you all to please, 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 pretty please, try to confine your comments to 20 seconds or less. Let's go ahead. We're going to go here now to Sparkles real quickly. Sparkles. This female writes in. She says, I used to be so much like that where I made everything about myself. I finally changed after over 20 years as I got older and realized that men wanted more than just a woman who would make it all about themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, please take note. It's never about any one person. Sparkles, what do you say to that? 20 seconds or less.
That's great that she was able to reflect and make a change. That is awesome.
All right, Jerry, I'm going to ask you the same comments on those lines, 20 seconds or less. Jerry, how important is it that, you know, you take stock? And why does it take sometimes people so long to come to that realization? All right, I thought we had Jerry. Now we can hear you, Jerry. Go ahead.
We're all on different paths, and sometimes we go down the wrong street too often, and then we get stuck there. And so when reality kicks in, that's when the light bulb comes on.
Very good point. Very good point. Sometimes we're going in a different direction. Very good point. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and bring in Shield of Faith on this one here. Shield of Faith, this comment comes in. This male, he writes in, he says, I don't mean to offend anyone with what I'm about to say. I think women are the ones who make it more about themselves because they are constantly expecting compliments. And when they don't get their way, they tend to go into a negative mood. He says, ladies, men want the respect and attention as well as you. It's not all about you all the time. Wow. I mean, what do you say to that? Whew.
I say I'm offended. I think he's been around the wrong women. Not all women are like that. You can't lump us into one big ball of talking. But, maybe he has been around some self-centered women, and I'm sure they're out there.
But they're not all like that.
All right, that's a very good point. So should he just keep going through women until he finds one that's not like that?
I'm just asking. He can duct tape her mouth and talk about himself.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go here. Ms. J, this comment's for you. This female, she writes in, she says, I personally think we are all guilty of making it about ourselves at some time or other, as someone said on the show earlier. I've been told by a number of relationships that I have had, and I finally get it, that men deserve to be treated much better than we do, than women treat them, and we should do a better job of making it also about the man. Ms. James, what do you think? This is a woman saying this. What do you think?
I don't know where that woman's coming from. You know, everybody can treat each other equally. We can treat each other the same. You know, one should not be treated better than the other. So I don't know what planet she's from, as you would say it, but I'm from a different one.
Okay. So, Ms. J, so everybody should be treated equally. So if I'm dating you, if I take you out this time to McDonald's, you know, for our dinner, you know, and then I have the expectation that next time you're paying, and I want to go to that penthouse place for dinner. So what do you say to that? Everybody should be treated the same, or are you going to try to take me to Burger King at the next
time? Okay. I did not choose McDonald's. You made the choice of the dinner place. So
right.
If I'm taking you out, I would make the choice of the dinner place. And it might be McDonald's again, you know.
No, but but that was my choice. I took you to McDonald's. So next
right,
time,
but,
I mean, I don't want to go to McDonald's next time because you're paying.
Hey.
So I'm going to tell you where I want to go.
I didn't tell you where I want to go, so therefore I said we equal. You ask me where I want to go, and then you can ask me, you can tell me where you want to go. We can do both ways, but you don't go where you want to go, and you tell me where you don't take me where you want me take me, and then you tell me where you want to go. No, it don't work that way. we can agree on where we go with you and where you go with me.
You can't get a nice order from McDonald's if I take you down paying for it, Ms. J.
Hey, as a matter of fact, you can take me to McDonald's, but you know what? If I'm taking you out, I'm going to take you where I want to go, and that's fine because I'm going to take you to a good steak restaurant, a good place, because that's what I want to eat. So that's fine.
Okay, so you're
going to
pay for it, though, right?
A good woman there. Huh?
Ms. J, you're going to pay for it. I paid for the McDonald's.
That's fine. Hey, that's fine,
okay.
But I enjoyed a good meal, and I had some company, and that'll probably be our last meal together.
Well, wait a minute, Ms. J. So, okay, the third time now is my time. I'm taking you to Burger King or Wendy's. So,
no, like I said, once I take you out where I want to go, that's our last meal, because I see that you are not the one for me.
Ms. J, we're going to ask you to stand by because you say everybody should be treated equally. But, Ms. J, I got to let this go here before Ricky the rest of you come on. Ms. J, I burned my gas, my oil in that car to pick you up and take you. So doesn't that account
you know
for
that,
something, Ms. J?
They said we got to be equally yoked, baby, and you ain't yoking with me.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Rick, we're going to ask you to close us out with this last one. This male, he writes in. He says, it's true. Can you go 3 days without, making it about yourself by avoiding the I Me syndrome? He says, it's true. This is a very good show because I think we all should take stock of ourselves and get more into the habit of trying to be there for others as opposed to only thinking about ourselves. I have a sister who constantly finds fault in everyone else and can never see herself at fault. She definitely makes it all about herself and can't see anything beyond herself and her feelings. Well, you know, we all need some help. The rescue closes us out with, can you go 3 days without making it about yourself? I don't even think sometimes we can go 1 day. Reach to the rescue, close us out.
Yeah, so I encourage everyone to take part in this 3-day challenge aimed at combating like the I Me syndrome, or what I like to refer to as the me trap. So during this time, I feel like everyone should work on honing on your patience and practicing active listening and developing the skill to summarize other thoughts to stay clear of this excessive self-focus that we can have. And so if we kind of all join in on it and practice like this selfless communication over the next 3 days, it kind of begins a journey of dedicating even our prayers and our thoughts and our meditations towards uplifting others. Because, you know, even when we're praying and we're meditating, we can often go in and say, oh, I want a new car, help me get a new job, or things of that nature. And that's where the actual first thought of it kind of begins. And then you take that momentum with you throughout the day. And we live in a fast-paced world where there's a lot of multitasking going on. And so when you're having conversations with people, oftentimes that person is not even there with you in that conversation. And so we have to be more mindful of all these different things that's going around, you know, going along around us. And this could pave the way for a refreshed mindset moving forward. And so with this 3-day challenge, what I would like to say, if you go into the challenge and you say to yourself, well, it's too hard, right? I am here to help. I'm Ricky to the rescue. I am a person that you can see as a solution-focused life coach that can help you refresh and renew your mind as far as trying to move forward to take yourself out of those type of perspectives, which could actually create a lot of harmful, damaging situations in your relationships and your love towards others. But I just wanted to know is no one is perfect. This is something that takes skills and it takes practice. It's not like you're just going to wake up, you know, overnight and say, oh, I got it. It doesn't necessarily work that way. We all fall victim to these type of things because, as it was said earlier, we have to think about ourselves a lot. You know, we have to think about, you know, our jobs. We have to think about the things that we're going to eat. You know, we have to preserve ourselves first, and then we start to think about others. So that's how we was always trained to do. And so it's more so about a mindset shift. And if you need to contact me, if you need any more assistance, you can visit the website at 2greatness.com. That is spelled with the number 2greatness.com. You can also give me a call at 404-968-9940. Again, that telephone number is 404-968-9940. And try to stay away from the me trap, because it's hard to get out of that trap when you're only seeing yourself. You almost blind yourself to the perspective of others. And please, please, please try to practice. I know we said listening, but try to practice being able to summarize what a person is telling you, because if you can't repeat what they're saying, you're not going to be able to have that empathy towards them, because it's going to be going in one ear and not the other. So thank you for that, Dr. Walker. I enjoyed the show this evening, and I enjoyed all of the conversations and feedback that went along with it.
All right, and certainly thank you once again, Rick, to the Rescue, for that wonderful closing. And again, for the prayer last week to invite for the healing for Pastor, and we welcome him back as well. All right, so listen, we're clearly out of time, y'all. They're threatening me. I got to get off the air. Tomorrow night's topic is going to be, let's go here now. They're putting it up on the screen. Does God want us to make it all about ourselves or show love and support for others? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. Listen, until tomorrow night or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
All right, good night.